Was that an earthquake, or did you just rock my world? Welcome back to the Just Not That Into You podcast. I'm Joe, and this is the second half of Bridget and my interview with Madison. As always, please don't hesitate to reach out to us on Instagram at Just Not That Into You podcast, or at Gmail at jntiypodcast@gmail.com. This is the last episode of our first season, but we'll be back again soon. Enjoy.
Before my partner now, I dated this man for like 7-ish months. And going into it, this is going to sound awful. So I was, 23 at the time when I met him, and I had never been in a relationship before. And I felt serious pressure to like be in a relationship, just like societally. And he seemed like he really liked me. And I was like, he's fine. He's like good enough looking. He's interesting enough. But he was a year younger than I was. And I just listened to a podcast about how like dating younger is like a feminist thing to do because it's like fighting the patriarchy, like yada, yada, yada. And I was like, okay, so like, this can be empowering.
Oh no, you really got us. You really got us with those, that one.
Perfect. And he was taking a year off before he went to medical school. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, he's going to go to medical school next year, which means I could put a time limit on this relationship. Like if we get into a relationship, like it has a hard cutoff when he goes to medical school. Cause like, he won't want to do long distance. I don't want to do long distance. I don't want to like, I'm not super into him, but I'm like,
I don't want to do short distance. Apparently.
I didn't want to do short distance. And he ended up being like, so just like awful to date for me. Like, he was very nice up front. And then like, once we got into it, I'm like a strong, independent woman, whatever. And he was like very insecure by that. No. Like I took a solo trip to Japan and a solo trip to Australia, New Zealand while we were dating. And he like guilt tripped me about them. He was like, why would you ever want to travel by yourself? Like I went out with a different guy whose nickname was 27-year-old undergrad. And on our first date, he was like, why would you ever travel before you're married? Don't you want to have those experiences with your husband?
Honestly, why go on trips when you can be guilt tripped instead? So
I know. Why leave my house when I could leave my house with my husband?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be honest, ask those questions all the time, not because I'm like, why would you do that without a husband or whatever? Just because I don't like being alone for that long. I would hate that.
But you could go with
like
a friend.
The idea of a solo trip, it's unpleasant to me.
The reason I like traveling alone is because when you go with a friend, like you're more likely to stay with your friend and do your things with your friend. But if you travel by yourself, you're not by yourself. You meet people there. So you're never really alone because I don't think people really want to stay just like solitary by themselves the entire time. So you like kind of go out of your way to meet people. Oh, speaking of, I had a tie-in for that as well. You're talking about sugar companionship. In your last episode, when I went to Japan, I rented a man for 2 hours.
Yes.
His name was Yosuke.
Okay.
They have a program called Osan Rental. Osan means uncle. Apparently in Japan, they have this like issue where they value their elders so much, but like middle-aged men are just kind of like wasting away in society. Like society just doesn't appreciate them.
Gosh.
So you can rent a middle-aged man for 1 to 2 hours. I think I paid maybe $30. It was $15 an hour. It might've been less than that. And it was amazing. He was so nice. He was this like gay opera singer. I loved him.
You probably felt so safe.
He spoke like minimal English, but it was enough that it got me through. I learned a couple of Japanese phrases my very first day there, super jet lagged, but he like walked me through like the basics of what I needed to know to survive in Japan.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Japan's such a
country. So you just like arrive and you like had this like middle-aged man waiting for you, just like, hello.
That could not work in the US. Which,
they have an insane train system, so I would have gotten super lost getting off the trains. If he hadn't been like, hey, your hotel is at this place, so this means that you should meet me at this train station. And I was like, cool, great. So he walked me to my hotel. We got ramen together. We like walked around a couple blocks and
it's like a tour guide, basically. Like in a way.
I mean, yeah, we didn't really, he wasn't like super a tour guide. He just kind of told me about his life and
yeah, it's like a casual tour
whatever
guide.
Else.
I just, yeah. I'm thinking like that would not work in the US. Like you arrive in America, you get paired with some 47-year-old manager of a Target named Phil, who just only knows like his hometown and can't tell you anything else about like America or the neighboring towns.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't know like, I just feel like you can't make recommendations. He's like, oh, well, I go here with my like buddies every day for beer and it's an Applebee's. Like, I just don't think it would work in the US. It wouldn't be fun.
Oh my gosh. But like foreigners should get to know Applebee's.
That's true. It could be.
If you want the real American experience.
Yeah.
Do they still have $1 drinks at Applebee's?
You can go to the neighborhood, right? Isn't that their catch phrase or slogan?
I have no idea.
The internet.
You're near your family.
Yeah. Anyway, that's amazing. Good for you for like finding that out.
Thank God it's Friday, right? That's their
TGI Fridays, right? And then
I know.
I'm sorry, I stopped listening to you a second ago. Eating
fair.
Good in the neighborhood.
Applebee's. Bridget, they're not paying us. We don't need to look it up.
This is a plug for Applebee's. Sponsor us, Applebee's. We'll get people to go there on date nights. Reinvigorate.
When I was a kid, Applebee's. Applebee's used to give a free milkshake if you like took in your report card. So
aww, cute.
Same with Krispy Kreme. When I was in college, so Krispy Kreme gives you a they used to give you a donut for every A that you got.
Amazing.
And then they switch it to I think like a dozen donuts if you have like too many A's. My mother would literally make me print out my transcript in college every semester so we could go to Krispy Kreme and get
that's just good business. That's
Krispy
absolutely
Kreme
worth it.
Rewards society. Now you get free donuts for life if you're vaccinated. I cannot wait to get that needle
wait,
up
for
in my
life?
Arm. I think it's for life.
I think it's for this year.
Oh, like yeah. One. Okay, for the year.
But you can get one a day.
I would get.
Wait, you can get one a day?
I would get one donut a day.
Oh, baby.
I mean, or like one donut a day from each Krispy Kreme place that you pass on your way.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
There's not enough around here. There's not enough.
I walk in, they're like, you're already
I know where they are.
Glaze. What are you doing here? And I'm like, more donuts, please. I open up
I've
a briefcase. It's filled with donuts.
14?
Throw my other donut
14
in there.
Krispy Kreme donuts at once. I think that's my record.
Oh my gosh. I mean, oh they're pretty goodness. Fluffy. Like, if you were to
I'm
condense
impressed.
Them down, like push them, it wouldn't be that much.
Yeah. That's why they're the best. Actually, no. Shipley's donuts are the best.
I like a
Shipley's. I don't know if there's a Shipley's close enough.
I don't think so.
Paul's Bakery in Fredericksburg. Shout out. So good. Best donuts.
Nah.
Nice.
Maybe. We'll see.
I'll give it to you guys sometime.
I'll be the judge of that next time in Fredericksburg.
Okay, but speaking of businesses
Wait.
And business models, I think this is a good segue to get to your like LinkedIn take.
Wait,
I find
hold on.
You're still trying to skip ahead.
Just edit this out. I'm just so excited to talk about LinkedIn, clearly. And the listeners are probably like, what
LinkedIn.
Is this?
I promise.
So, give me everyone. I'm jumping the gun. I'm sorry.
Totally good.
Donuts.
Anyway, so, I mean, we're getting to the good part of the story anyway, because we're getting to the part where the relationship ends.
Ooh.
there was like a preface to the breakup and I won't go into that because that was like truly traumatic, but the actual like sit down when I was like, hey, I literally told him, I was like, I don't think that you're on a path to fall in love with me. Like, and I was like, and realistically, I don't think that you actually like me. To which he responded, I didn't know you needed love.
Oh my gosh, that guy.
What are you, some sort of plant? You need to be watered with love? Jeez.
I know, I'm so needy.
It's just like some indie
movie. I was like, I don't even think that you think I'm pretty. Like, I don't remember you ever telling me that I'm even pretty. I don't know why you're dating me. And he's like, well, I told you were pretty in July. I broke up with him in January. Literally,
wait,
like,
sorry.
3 days
to
after
be clear, years. You guys were dating for like 7 months, and neither of you really even wanted to date each other. It wasn't like you were like, he was like really driving this hard, and you're like, well, you know, he's okay.
So we had like a, okay, when I got back, I went to Japan in September. Uh-huh. When I got back from Japan, he was like super nasty to me the first night I came back. And I was like, I don't know what your deal is. And he was like, I want to have like the like DTR relationship like conversation. And I was like, no, I was like, you need to completely change your attitude. Cause like the way you treated me tonight is completely unacceptable. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And like, so we ultimately like DTR'd a month later, which was like very late in the relationship. And later he told me, he's like, yeah, he's like, I was pretty like invested in the relationship, like up until that point. And then once we got to that point, I like stopped really caring at all. And I was like, okay, I wasn't invested in the relationship until that point because I didn't think that you cared, you know? And I was like, and that's when I like started like trying really hard to make it work, you know? Whereas beforehand, like I was like, if we're not exclusive, I'm going to still be going on dates with other people.
Yeah.
You know, I went on a date with someone else like 11 days before we like had the exclusivity conversation. But it was also like when we broke up, he was like, yeah, he's like, we were exclusive, but we weren't in a relationship. Which is such BS. Like, that is the most
absurd concept. That's not what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being exclusive is a stage in a relationship. It makes no sense. They go hand in hand. So dumb.
So, we can talk about LinkedIn now if you would.
Yes!
Like.
I've been waiting. LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. For no reason.
I love LinkedIn so much.
I don't really know why.
I love
why.
It so much.
I like to go and, like, my dad and I are connected on LinkedIn. I like to go and, like, wish him a happy birthday via LinkedIn, which is, like, so stupid.
Nice.
And I think it's so funny. He'll be like, and then he'll do the generated, like, thank you response back to me. It's my favorite. We're very close, which is why I can do that. But
my old roommate and best friend, she just moved back up to Chicago. We have had entire conversations, like, when we're both at work, where we'll just have auto-generated response conversations.
Yes. I don't know why it's so entertaining. It's so funny, but I am obsessed
with
it.
It's so good. It does get to the point where they only give you one response option and it stays the same.
Annoying.
So that's when you have to get back to a real conversation, unfortunately.
So
I've gotten every single job I've gotten after college has been on LinkedIn.
That's amazing. I've never used LinkedIn for anything. I've just worked at the same organization since I started working. But one thing I want to say,
I got my most recent job.
That's awesome. I'll use, if I ever leave, don't tell my boss if they're listening. If I ever leave, maybe it'll be LinkedIn. I love my current job. I love my current job. Give me a raise.
Same.
One thing that I think you guys have probably seen this meme floating around because it's been around for a couple years is people say that like the Myers-Briggs personality test is astrology for people who have LinkedIn's. Like the ENFJ, INFJ. All those different personality types. I'm ENFJ. I'm like, dang it. And I do like LinkedIn. So Myers-Briggs is where it's at. And that's a big thing people have on like their like dating apps is their personality type. So I'm very excited because what Madison has shared with us is that she thinks LinkedIn could be like a dating site, basically, or it's been used as a dating site.
Yeah, hot take is that LinkedIn is my favorite dating site.
I think that's so funny.
Explain that to me.
Please explain.
Yeah, here's the thing. You can't just go in blind to it. You can't just like see a mutual friend on LinkedIn and say, oh, that person's hot and like slide into their DMs. Or just like a rando that you find who works at a company that you're like interested in. You can't just, no. The way that LinkedIn dating works is you meet someone IRL or you're like even, well, honestly, like, don't change platforms if you're on a dating app if you're a guy. Like, if you see someone on a dating app and then you go DM them on LinkedIn, if you're a guy, that's creepy.
Yeah, yep.
But if you meet someone IRL and you don't get their phone number, hit them up on LinkedIn, you know, and say, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have gone on, I think I've only been on 2 LinkedIn dates.
Still, that's a lot for LinkedIn. That's not the purpose.
The first one was when I was living in Atlanta, I went to Vanderbilt undergrad, and I went to a Vanderbilt alumni event, and you can see the people who are going before you go, and I, like, just wasted my time at work, and I went and LinkedIn stalked everyone who was going to the event, And there was one guy who was a caddy for like the PGA Tour at one point. Ooh. And I was like, wait, this is so cool. And I met him at this event and I was like, oh, you're the caddy. And he's not anymore. He's like high up at a healthcare organization. Oh, or something. Didn't update like his that. LinkedIn?
Wait, what healthcare
organization? No, it was like, oh. It was like back in his history, like 10 plus years ago.
Got it.
But I was like, I saw your LinkedIn and I saw that. But I didn't have a private LinkedIn at that point. I had to make it private when I was doing investigations because like liability issues. But I didn't have a private at that point. So he could like see that I saw his LinkedIn and he hit me up and was like, hey, like we should get coffee sometime. And so I like dated him for a hot second. I liked him a lot. He was very, very nice. He was significantly older than I was. He graduated in 2004 and I was 2016.
Ooh, yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah, that's how the patriarchy gets you.
That's the patriarchy for you. But
he was a good guy. And then the second one, I went to a gala and I met this guy there and I was like, ooh, I was like, this guy's super cute. I was like, I don't know his last name. I don't know how to find him on social media. I was like, but I know his first name. I know like what he does. I know where he's lived. And honestly, with like two or three pieces of information, you can just like type in a first name and a couple other things and then the word LinkedIn into your Google search bar and it'll come up with the person. Yep. And so I just like, I hit him up on LinkedIn and I was like, hey, like, it was great meeting you. Like, let's get coffee or go for a walk or something. And so like, we went on a couple of dates.
Nice. That's but, cool. Good for you.
Yeah. I take that back. I've only been out with one man who did not have a LinkedIn profile, and that's because he was a doctor.
He was a what?
A doctor.
Oh, okay. You don't really need
connections like, for that. People in like the medical profession don't have LinkedIns, really.
I guess you just communicate by like prescription sheet or something.
yeah.
That's hysterical. I definitely use LinkedIn more than I do like Instagram and Facebook when I'm trying to figure out like about a guy.
It tells you so much more. Okay.
And
so like much more.
I don't have an Instagram. My Facebook's locked down, but my LinkedIn is open.
And I would say there are guys like on some dating apps, you know how it just gives you their first name and then when you match, you get their last name?
Yeah.
Some people, you don't have that set up. I don't think I have it set up where my first name my last name pops up when you match with me. But I'll like be like, well, I want to figure out more about this guy. So I'll type in their first name and their job. And then I just like look through the photos on LinkedIn and then find them. And this is maybe showing that I do a lot of work. I just believe in trying to figure out a little bit about a strange man you meet on the internet. I don't think that's so bad. I'm not doing like a deep dive trying to figure out like where they went on vacation in 2003 and their aunt's names. I'm just trying to figure out like, do you share like racist posts in your Facebook? Like things like that. A couple of things. And then I'm off of it and I don't care anymore. But LinkedIn will reveal their last name to me if they haven't shared it already. And then I look LinkedIn and then I go to the social media sites and I can tell that guys do this too, because I have been viewed by guys who I've like sort of matched with on dating sites. They've either just viewed my profile or they connect with me and they never make a move. And I'm like, I'm not making a move on you. I wasn't that interested, but sorry. Sorry to that man. If you're listening, sorry.
It's so much more informative though than Facebook or Instagram. You know, because like I know where you went to school. Mm-hmm. I know potentially where you grew up.
Yeah, lots of things.
I know every job that you've held. I know if you speak any languages, like if you volunteer somewhere, if you're a good person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know if you're a job hopper. I know realistically probably your salary range.
Oh, yeah. I look up salaries too. I feel bad about that. It's not that I make a decision based on that. I'm just curious about that stuff. And it's never a question I would ask them, probably. So,
plus, if you have a job that's interesting, like I've gone on dates with guys because like their job title sounded interesting and I wanted to know more about that company to see if I wanted to work there.
Ooh, good girl. That's awesome.
Horrible. Oh, come
it's
on.
Not,
that's so sad for the guy. He's like, I'm interested in this girl. She's like, I'm interested in the job.
No, it's not. It's kind of like just perks. You know what I mean? Like, a benefit to going out with this person. Not like I'm only going out with this person because it could be. Just it might not be though.
If I'm going to say yes to every date anyway, I might as well like learn something from the person.
That's fair. I mean, I say yes every date, but that has ended up in me going on no dates. Aww. So I don't have that same sort of problem.
Well, it sounds like you're in a happy relationship. Yeah. So I don't really think that is.
Yeah, we're not worried about you, Joe.
If you're not going on first dates right now.
Yeah.
Correct.
What if Joe's like still saying yes to dates? Like, I'm sorry, it's just my rule. I say yes to first dates. Don't worry, current lady friend. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are going by. I will not go on a second date with this person. It meant nothing.
Whatever.
Oh my gosh, if your girlfriend's at home and she's like, oh my God. Joe just said I'm his girlfriend. We have not had the conversation yet.
No, no.
Yes.
You have like,
Joe loves me.
You have like 3 weeks to define it by the time this episode comes out. Something like that. I don't know. About 3 weeks. Figure it out.
Joe, I do have to say.
My clock is ticking.
Your biological
what?
Clock. I do have to say, Joe, I really appreciate that you are a lover, it sounds like.
Joe's a lover.
Like, so I feel like
fighters, our culture, don't get any ideas. Sorry.
I feel like our culture is so much like, oh my God, I hate them. I hate them. I hate this. I hate that. And I feel like we should just like love everyone instead, you know, instead of being like, oh my God, like I hate so-and-so, which I mean, valid for like,
I hate everyone.
Which it, yeah.
Dude, I'm a hater.
But also just like, why can't we love strangers? Yeah. You know, I feel like it's totally valid to love a stranger.
I'm totally down for it.
I think
it's
valid to love a stranger, too. Yeah. A stranger. Once I get to know them. Forget it.
Yeah. Those were love.
Yeah, I tolerate you now.
I'm just getting to know you until I can know your faults, yep. So I know why I don't like you. No.
Better not. I'm kidding. I like most people.
My best friend right now, I met her in high school, and she was a very intimidating woman in high school. She's super, like, very welcoming and approachable now. But she was like a scary popular girl in high school. And she told me back then that most people like people until they don't. And whereas she didn't like people until she did.
Interesting.
And then once she liked someone for forever.
Okay.
Which thank God I fell into that bucket. And now, I mean, now I think she just like likes everyone forever. She doesn't really have a period of disliking people. She just, she's a lover.
Love it.
That's nice.
Yeah. Sorry, when you said like she was a very intimidated woman, I was imagining her as like the vice principal in your high school, and now you're like bros and hanging out.
Met her in high school.
I'm gonna promote her really quickly. Yeah. She has a comedy TikTok. Yeah. She's a professional comedian on the side. Like she has a big business lady job. But she makes a lot of comedy TikToks, and her handle is at Theo Can Read.
Okay.
Theo Can Read.
I'll plug it in the edits.
Very funny.
Great.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
I love that. You know, again, we have millions of listeners.
Add an extra 100. Add an extra 120 people to her follower.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly. You know? Exactly.
If she follows back, no.
if she promotes us. Quid
no,
pro quo.
I mean, I have a Google Photos album of comedy TikToks that the world won't get to see.
So. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that you shouldn't post them.
I mean, you should share them to an episode.
No.
Someday. Just email them to Madison.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe. You can ask one.
I do think y'all should do an episode where y'all, I mean, if you want to have a non-guest episode mm-hmm. where you just sit and take the love languages questionnaire out loud.
Ooh.
That's
I think
a really
that would
good
be
idea.
Really useful for the listeners. Also, have y'all heard of the 73 questions?
No.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's my favorite thing. I did it. I had a job once where we didn't have access to any of the systems for a full month. So I just went around and did the 73 questions with every single one of my coworkers. So, Joe, the premise is it's 73 questions to fall in love with someone. So it's just, like, really it advances emotional intimacy very quickly. It starts out pretty simple, like, what's your favorite color or whatever, and then it gets deep really quickly. And then at the end of it, you're supposed to hold eye contact with someone for 4 minutes straight, which – when I did it with my coworkers, I cut out, there were a bunch of questions like, say 5 things you like about your partner.
Yeah.
Like, say 4 things that you admire about your partner. And they have that like splattered through there. So I took out all those questions and I took out the 4 minutes of eye contact. I was like, I'm not having my coworkers fall in love
with me.
No,
that's
crazy talk.
I mean, they
but
just.
But I do want to get to know them.
That's a good idea.
I want to be best friends with all of
them. To make it platonic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of them did fall in love with
me. Go figure.
But
oh, Madison.
I know.
If you message her on LinkedIn, maybe. Fetish,
which is exciting. I know.
No, that's a good idea. I like that. I like that. I actually have a segment that I was that I wanted to introduce today, and I'm like, why didn't I think about this before? Which was on Instagram with the with the question feature, telling people
to submit
questions. And I'm like, I don't know why we didn't do this before, like before we record every day, just gather questions. So I have some.
Can I tell an Instagram or a LinkedIn story first?
Yes, please. I'll pull the questions up.
Yeah. Okay, so my LinkedIn story. The first, after I graduated, I was talking to recruiters on LinkedIn. And you can't, at this point, you can't you can't hit up me up in my DMs on LinkedIn because I'm at 99 plus and I've been at 99 plus for as long as I can remember. And even like my old boss messaging me, I'm like, I'll get to it later. but back in the early days of my LinkedIn, I was talking to this recruiter about a job, ended up like getting the job. And so, you know, like we're messaging about things and stuff. She's in California or whatever. And she's probably like in her like 30s and I'm just out of college, 22. And then like after we get the job and I'm like, thank you so much for this. I'm like really excited to start. She's like, cool. Like, what are your like plans for like the weekend or whatever? And I'm like, I'm going to the beach with my family, like before I start. Excited, looking forward to that, you know, before I joined the working world. It's like, yeah, I was like out running a marathon and she like sends me like a picture of her like having run a marathon.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm like, this is strange. You live in California. I mean, she wasn't unattractive, but I'm like, I don't know what this is about. And then she's like, me and my boyfriend like to run marathons a lot. And I'm like, why are you sending me a picture then? If you're not hitting on me, weird. What is this? That's and so I was just like, sent like one like, cool. And I was like, I'm never responding to this again. No. I couldn't find it. I like must have deleted it. But anyway, it's a very weird LinkedIn.
Maybe it was like a bot.
Not dating story, apparently. What'd you say?
It was a bot. Like a scam.
But they got me a real job.
I don't know.
Your recruiter is a bot.
I don't know. These people are weird.
And so, the other thing that LinkedIn is terrible for me for, vis-a-vis dating, is I'll have like people blocked on Facebook. Like I don't want to see like all of like my ex-girlfriend's posts, right? Like, but then on LinkedIn, it's like you're connected to this. I could unconnect with them. I don't, because I like never look through the things. I'm looking through my recommended people, and it's like, hey, you have all kinds of friends in common with this person, and you like have their email address, so probably you want to be like friends with Felicity.
Ooh, awkward.
And I'm like, I never ever want to think about her again for the rest of my life. So thank you very much for that one, LinkedIn.
Thanks, LinkedIn.
I think you can block people on LinkedIn. Just go and block them on LinkedIn.
I just like never think to. I never think after a breakup to be like, nah.
That's a good reason to not date people in your same job circuit, because you don't want to break up with someone and then have to go to them for a recommendation later, or like say, hey, can you get me a job at your company because I really want to work at your company.
Like even like,
so don't date people in your same industry.
Like an industry networking event or something. Cringy.
Yeah.
No, Madison's going on dates trying to be like, oh, is this a cool company to work for? I'm going to dates trying to be like, hey, you want to get me a sweet, sweet referral bonus?
Sounds pretty nice.
Absolutely.
I want a referral bonus.
Like,
I'm worried if I learn to code and learn like more about computers and stuff that I'm going to have to take on some of the editing stuff for this episode. And I'm not
interested
in that. It
is literally nothing to do with my job.
I believe that it's complicated and it's with computers and it's all the same world to me. So I don't want to know more.
Bridget, you use a computer for your job every day, all
it's
the time.
Hard. I'm a Luddite. I'm a Luddite. I don't want to do any more.
Anyway,
gosh.
Wait, so Madison.
Yes, sir.
Madison.
Tell us about your theory of tracking dates.
Oh, yeah. Why do you keep record of all of them?
Okay, so a bit of backstory on that. My neighbor across the street Her name was Mrs. Kathy. She was married to Mr. Kathy. They were an older couple. I think he was a Presbyterian minister, but they were super
I was hoping cool, he was the president of Chick-fil-A, but, you know, cool anyway.
Close enough. But she told me at one point, like, they had been in this, like, 50-year marriage, like, super happy, just the sweetest older couple. I'm obsessed with them. Absolutely love them. But she told me that her aunt told her that when she was younger, she needed to date 50 men, which I'm assuming means go on dates with, not be in 50 different relationships, because that seems like an excess.
Your planner is so full.
Yeah, she's like, go on 50 dates with different, like, 50 different dates before you get married. And I don't necessarily, like, want to get married, but her 50th first date was with her husband, Mr. Kathy.
Aww.
I know.
It worked for her.
But it's basically, like, it's, I mean, dating is a numbers game, right? So the more people you date, the more you know what you like, the more you know what you don't like, the more, like, bad eggs you weed through, the more, like, good eggs you find their bruises and throw them out, it's stinky. I don't know. I'm running this to the ground.
I like it.
But anyway, so I was like, I just want to see, like, if I get to 50, when I get to 50, like, what happens, like, just to, like, keep a record. And also, it's come in helpful. I went on a first date with this guy once, and then I ran into him in a bar, and I was like, ooh, I know I went on a date with him once. I do not remember his name.
No.
And so I, like, went to the bathroom. I, like, pulled up my little spreadsheet. I was like, ooh, this guy looks like the straight version of my gay best friend. I saw that little note in there. I went to the name. And I was like, okay, his name is Sam, whatever. And I was like, Sam, so good to see you. You know?
Wow, that's actually very handy.
Comes in handy.
So what information do you record on your spreadsheet? And have you had it for, like, your entire dating history? Or, like?
No, I started it, I probably started it in 2016. Because before then, I just have, like, vague, like, year and month dates of, like, when I went on dates with people. And then starting in, like, May 2016, I have, like, actual dates for the first date.
Cool, cool, cool.
So the order of what I have the full name, the date we went on our first date, the location we went on our first date, the number of dates that we went on, up to, like, a certain amount. Like, if we went on, like, more than six dates, I stopped counting. Was there a kiss at any point in the relationship? And then, would I go? That's a yes, no. Would I go on another date with them? That's a yes, no. Then I include the phone number. I include, and then I have space. I don't necessarily include all of these, but for Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And then I include a fun fact. If they had a quote that I thought was interesting or absurd or offensive. And then I include a description of the person.
That's amazing.
But I don't necessarily always include everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it just all, like, falls under the fun fact.
Yeah, and they might not have a LinkedIn. Like,
do you...
So if they're doctors.
they all, for the
most part. Oh, that's right. You only had one. The one that you went out with who wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
What? So do you, what do you use the, like, the spreadsheet
Google
for?
Google Sheets.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I don't use it for anything now. Like, I hadn't opened it in 2 years before this podcast.
Ooh.
So
must have been kind of fun going up memory lane.
Yeah. I was like, ugh.
Anyway, I wish I had a spreadsheet like that. I'm really jealous.
Really cool.
Yeah. Plus, if I, because, like, I don't keep guys' phone numbers in my phone. So if I ever get, like, a random text from someone, I can always, like, refer back to the spreadsheet.
That's so smart.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah.
Do you get, is that a big thing? Getting, like, random texts like that?
No.
Okay.
Although, okay, so y'all were talking about looking over analytics earlier.
Yes.
So you know how, like, whenever you post an Instagram story, you always look and see who watches your Instagram story?
I always do.
Right? Okay. So that man who told me that he did not know that I needed love, I have not heard from him since we broke up. I have, like, unfollowed him, unfriended him, whatever. But I didn't know that I didn't block him on Instagram. So he still follows me. I do not follow him. He has a private account. I don't care to know anything about his life, right? But 2 weeks ago, he watched one of my Instagram stories for the first time since we broke up.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
And then a week after that, he watched another Instagram story, but his little profile picture had changed to him proposing to a woman.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, are you just watching my Instagram stories to tell me that you're engaged now?
Oh my gosh. Maybe.
Huh.
Like, I am happy for you, but very sad for her.
Right. But yes. Here's what this opens up. Can you make an Instagram story about this podcast and be like, hey, whatever your name is, I know you're going to watch this. Come on the podcast.
He doesn't consistently watch my Insta stories.
Yeah.
Also, you just have to do it until he does, you know?
He wouldn't be a good podcast guest because his parents were high school sweethearts. Uh-huh. And he's from Nashville, right? Refused to introduce me to his parents because he did not want to introduce anyone to his family until he was sure he was going to marry them.
Ooh.
Because he's like, they won't understand.
That's not true. But
I ran into his dad once, and so I met his dad accidentally. And then he's like, you're not gonna meet my mom until I meet your mom. And I'm like, my mom lives 9 hours away. Like, your mom lives 9 minutes away. Less than.
Oh my gosh.
So
what a weird, especially because
that's so weird that he's like, I don't want my parents, who apparently, you know, like, seemed to have a marriage that he like liked, that I didn't want to have them have any part in like helping me like pick out or like make this decision.
Yeah. Process.
I mean, he just didn't like me, which is fine. I didn't really like him that much either. he would go to parties and like brag about how I had, like, literally he went to a New Year's Eve party and was like, Madison hasn't met my parents. She's not going to meet my parents. All like drunk, and I'm like, why is this the thing you're bragging?
Yeah, not
like, whatever.
Just doesn't sound like a nice.
Well, you broke up with him 3 days really after nice that, right? So,
yeah, that wasn't even the reason. I mean, it was an accumulation of stuff, but
it sounds like there's so many reasons to have ended that. I'm glad you're not with him anymore. And if you happen to, when we post this, if you share in your story and he sees you're in a podcast and he listens to it, I hope he's embarrassed.
But I still hope he likes, rates, and subscribes.
But I still hope,
you know,
he likes, rates, subscribes, reviews, shares with his friends, etc., and becomes an avid listener.
Some review will be like, I was bashed on this podcast. I'm going to sue them for slander.
We'll go viral.
Look, if he wants to set the record straight, we'll be happy to have him as a guest.
Yeah.
Did you even like Madison? Tell us.
What is wrong with you? How could you not like Madison? Yeah. You're an idiot.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sorry, this is stupid looking.
No, it looks cute. It kind of gives you like Princess Leia vibes.
I just pulled my hoodie up over my headphones for the listeners at home.
That's pretty funny.
I'm going to leave it up now, I guess. I have to. Oh gosh, it's so round.
Anyway, did you have anything else that you wanted to share, Madison?
No, I feel like I haven't talked about this at all, but I would like to say that I'm very much in love right now. Like, I'm in a very happy relationship. Like, lots of positive affirmations, lots of, like, good things.
Wonderful.
Madison's learned from her mistakes.
Yeah. I've learned from my mistakes. I'm happy.
That's amazing.
Y'all. It's a great thing.
So, yeah, for those who have hope, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So keep trying.
Eventually. It takes, hold on, I'll tell you how many minutes it takes though. How many first dates I've been on? 64.
Oh, you didn't just stop at 50? You weren't like the Kathys where you're like, oh well, that's 50, so I guess I'm getting married now.
Okay, hold on. If I had stopped at 50, y'all,
tell us.
I would be with the tall, very cute, spent the first 30 minutes talking about traffic.
Yes, traffic boy.
From Alabama.
He's from Alabama.
He was boring. He didn't pick up hints that I didn't want to kiss him. After I turned my head and he kissed the part between my eye and hairline and forced to make out.
Oh gosh.
I'll be honest. If I did that and I like kiss somebody between the like eye and hairline, I would
be embarrassed.
No, I'd probably literally like spontaneously combust.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'd give up. You know, I'd just lay down and be like, leave me here. I never want to see you again or anyone else.
I'd lay lay down in Main Street and let the birds come for me. It's time to die. That's how I bring it full circle. All right. Well, yeah.
Anyway, we're really happy for you, Madison.
Yes, we are very happy for you.
Thank you. I'm happy for me too.
I do like it when we have people who are in good relationships, or have gotten married even on the show, because then it feels like, okay, you can kind of relay these stories and we can kind of pretty much determine that our guest is not the problem. You know, it's like, no, they made it work. They figured it out. So they're good.
I mean,
everyone sucks.
I was definitely part of the problem in getting into a relationship and putting a time limit on it from day one. Mm.
Sure.
Look, I can admit that I was part of that problem.
I think in high
school. The key is to learn from your mistakes.
I know. Oh, gosh.
Great. Okay.
I know. So it's like, how do we end this?
No, I just like, if anybody else has anything to say, I don't want to be having fun.
Date. My roommate had a FaceTime date on Friday. Or my old roommate.
Yeah.
Not my current, obviously.
Yeah.
That'd be problematic.
Oh my gosh. You can
just like, what are you doing? He's like
you can edit this out too, Joe. I have one tomorrow, maybe. I think. We'll see. I've never had one and I'm like not looking forward to it. I mean, he seems nice. I don't want
a Zoom date?
Yeah. He's
wait, no, you have to go into this. Tell us about them.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well,
who is this person?
I'll fill you in. I'll fill you in. And Joe knows a lot about this already. Oh, shoot. And so this guy, he lived in the area. I met him on Hinge, but he's been in Miami just like working with his parents, I guess, probably like not paying rent, but he's moving back to the area. So he was like, oh, like I'd like to chat more. Do you just want to do like a Zoom date? I'm like, okay, fine. But I don't know what to do with these things because some people will message you for days. And then eventually ask you out. Some people, they're like, four messages, great, want to go out? And I'm like, oh, okay, why not? So I don't know much about him, honestly. But, like,
yeah,
he seems like he's really into dogs. I like dogs. I really do. I like animals a lot. But I don't think it's my personality type isn't liking dogs, if that makes sense. And I just get worried sometimes, like, that's all he might bring to the table. So
I don't think that a one-liner that you
if he brings a dog to the table
your entire personality.
Yeah. That's true.
But I don't know, it's also I think just hard like to like sometimes to transition to be like, I think that I'm generally fun and interesting in a lot of ways. I know that sounds conceited, but I do think that's just the honest truth about myself, about how I think about myself. But it's hard to like, I don't know, to like be like, hey, I have a like podcast.
No.
And then they're like, you sound like a horrible person. It's like, oh, well, what do you do? Well, mostly I spend as much time with my friends as possible because I love my friends. It's like, oh, do you have any hobbies? Well, I make TikToks that I won't show anyone.
I just feel like, what's wrong with telling people, like, I just like hanging out with people. I don't have any, I don't do crafts. I don't play sports. I just like hanging out with people. Is that so wrong? I don't know.
That's why like meeting people in person is so much better than like texting or emailing or like whatever. Like I'm so bad on like written forms of communication that like go back and forth.
You're great to email for whatever it's worth. You're great to email.
I did not feel like I was good.
No,
to email.
I thought you were so funny. Like, every time I was bad, I was like, she's like my spirit animal. Like, how do I?
she wouldn't shut up about it. She literally texted me. Oh, she was so excited.
I was. I'm really excited. Sorry, I'm glad you're here with us.
I want you to add this, and we should plug my 10x9.
Yes. Oh, I totally put a link to it. Like, it will be available. I mean,
what is that?
Yeah.
Tell us about
so this. Okay, so you didn't listen to this. I'm heartbroken. Funny. Not at all. So I went through I like to do like personal projects where I just like commit to doing something new for a year. Or for like a certain period of time. So like there was 1 year in Nashville where I went to like a new music venue every single week.
That's cool.
And so like this particular year, I was like, well, let me try like a woodworking class. And I went to this thing called 10x9, which is essentially, it's kind of like a moth type storytelling event. So it's 9 people give 10-minute talks about a certain topic. And so I signed up for it in my week. The theme was OMG. So I told a dating horror story, which wasn't actually a dating horror story because I never went on a date with
Sam. So funny.
But yeah, so if you type in my name and 10 by 9 into Google, it comes up. If you type in my name, 10 by 9 into Google, it comes up with like a therapy podcast, I think, as well, which is interesting in that it's not me, but I highly recommend therapy for whomever would like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like a 30-minute episode, but I'm only the first like 10 minutes of it. So it's an easy listen.
It's really good. You don't have to jump around. Yeah.
I don't remember this lady after me being particularly good.
I stopped listening after you. It didn't matter to me. The first
I haven't re-listened to it since I like gave the talk.
Sorry, what's your last name though? Cuz
It's Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. Like the song in the a year with an S.
Do you, and you want that publicized? Yeah. I mean, I guess we have to, if we want to put, my hands look orange.
I don't care. Yeah, whatever.
Cool.
I just remembered, I have a bad date story with a Brazilian.
Oh my gosh.
Yes! Let's hear it.
So this is when I was in New York, and I had just moved from Manhattan to Brooklyn, and I was living with a guy who was a friend of a friend, and then his Irish roommate. And
sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is like, we hung out one time, like the night I moved in. And then this was the only other time we went out for the Super Bowl or something. And no, it wasn't, it doesn't matter. We went out for some like sporting event. We were at a bar and that this Irish guy, it's just like his entire mission in being in New York is to meet women. So he's like, hey, let's go talk to these girls who are over at this table. My goal was just, hey, we're standing and they have a table, so if we talk to them, maybe we'll get to sit down, and that would be dope. Anyway, so we start talking to them. They're au pairs and their English is, it's so-so. It's enough that you can kind of have a conversation, but you're not going to get very far. And like, I don't know. I'm like,
which
my
is probably
joke,
what the Irish
landing.
Guy is looking for. Right.
Yeah, he was in his element. I was like, I'm trying to like have a conversation here, and I just like keep saying things and then getting a confused look and maybe a what, and then I like.
But realistically, you're just trying to sit down.
Correct.
So like, you've won already.
Right. Yeah. So this was great. This was great. And then we exchanged numbers at the end of the night because I guess that's what you do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then later on, she texts me. She's like, "Hey, do you want to go out?" I'm like, "I guess." I was like more or less newly single at the time. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to, this is one of the few times, I guess, I was actually asked out on a date. No. And she's like, okay, cool. We're going to go to this like tea shop place. I'm like, okay, tea sounds like a nice, like, you know, first date sort of thing. Not casual. Too like pretty casual. Yeah. It turns out it's like this like super fancy, like tea place on the Upper East. Yeah. So it's got like scones and tea and like
this
all kinds
of New York. Was it the Russian Tea Room? Oh, okay,
no.
Cause that's like touristy.
It was like, it's like Alice in Wonderland themed.
Cool.
And we get there and I'm like, okay, like this is the first good scone I've ever had in my life. So that's nice. But it was also
I've never had a good scone.
It's just not good. Yeah,
you need a lot of cream. I think that helps. So good.
That sounds so
gross.
It
does. It's delicious. Right?
I understand, but
I feel the same way. Like, I love like all kinds of like dairy products and sour cream and stuff, but clotted cream just sounds
one
not
of the best things
right.
I ever had. It's like it is.
It sounds like it looks like cottage cheese.
It doesn't. Oh my gosh. Like, it really is like halfway between like half and half and butter. It's so
nice.
Good.
Is it sweet?
Like, it's just that perfect. Well, so. Sometimes butter or dairy products, when it gets like churned a lot, like a natural sweetness comes out. So I think it's just naturally.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Anyway.
Sorry, that's what I can offer to the conversation.
Plug for clotted
plug
cream. That's fine. Go for it. You know, big cream is sponsoring Bridget right
they
now.
They're on my back.
So I'm at this place and then I realize that it costs like $75. And you know how like we're like the language barrier was like a little rough. It didn't matter because she didn't say anything to me. She was just busy taking Instagram pictures the entire time. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this is dull. But at least I don't feel like I have to. And I like I'm trying to like come up with like how can I engage her in conversation? No.
Did you pay for her?
Yeah.
you out.
I was, because I couldn't. Yeah, I know. But also, I had a real job, and she. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had a higher paying job than she did. Oh, being an au pair is a real job and a great job, and something that if I were smart, I would have done if I could figure out how to do it.
I wanted to.
Anyway. But then, like, afterwards, like, we just, like, went to Times Square. And I think it was because we were, like, both lived down that direction. So it would have been weird to, like, walk to the subway and then, like, go that way. So, like, the date didn't end. So we'd already been at the place. We'd waited for, like, 15 minutes or half an hour or something. We'd been there for, like, an hour. And then we, like, are traveling down to, like, and we're in Times Square. And we're just, like, walking around Times Square. And I don't know why. I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. But I couldn't figure out a reason to leave or, like, anything. And we walk by this guy, like, outside one of the things. And he starts, like, talking to her. And he's like, oh, where are you from? And she says Brazil. And he's like, oh, Brazilian girls are, like, the cutest. Like, they're so pretty. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, don't you think they are? And I'm like, sure.
It's a very anyway, diverse it was horrible. Country, though. So it's kind of like...
It's very diverse. But they are all beautiful. All the women are for sure.
For sure.
All gorgeous.
I didn't kiss her, though, so I can't report back on that. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just Brazilian men that are bad kissers, or because I haven't kissed any Brazilian women.
My hope is that our one listener gonna have to for science. Is a Brazilian woman who will not take offense at our Brazilian men comment.
Some people really like it. It's like a very like... wet kiss. It's just like
you just take a big old drink of water, nice. And then just kind of
it's like if you wanted to make out with your dog.
I really don't
like people big, apparently like, want to do that all the time.
Maybe some sandpaper.
Yeah,
I'm not into.
Yeah,
I'm just not into that.
Like Vim's dog kisses me.
If your dog kisses like sandpaper, then you're kissing a cat.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Who kisses like a cat? Let me know. Probably like Germans or something. I don't know. I'm just making it up.
I have no idea.
It's like they're rigid, you know?
Yeah.
You're shirted on time. You can't get slobber in the way.
Maybe like Canadians?
Maybe Canadians. Polite, you know?
Maybe Canadians.
I'm not going to let my slobber get in the way. All right. If you're German or Canadian, slide into my DMs. We'll figure this out and I'll report back. Why not?
Bridget, for science, for investigative journalism.
I'm joining the, for those who've listened, I'm joining the sugar daddy sites for science. I am, well, apparently, yes. I am letting German men and Canadian men come visit me for science, for the podcast.
You're already on Hinge for science,
I'm on
too.
Hinge for science, and if I get a date out of it, that's fine. Maybe that's why I don't care so much.
You should see how much money you can make in a week on the, like... Just do it for a week. Be like, I want to get money for a week. And then once you've gotten like however many payments in a week, you cut it off and then you stop contact and that'll be like your safe
zone. Sounds like pretty good.
But, like,
and then everyone's like, I'm like, yeah, I paid off my student loans real quick and I have a down payment for a house somehow. Everyone's like, how'd you do it? I'm like,
I mean, if you,
my nonprofit job pays me well.
If you enjoy it, like stick to it. But I feel like you're very apprehensive about it. So I feel like the way for you to do it is to like have like a hard cutoff, you know, put a time limit on it. Like, right. Like how I did with that guy, you know, like go into it, say,
I feel like it's the only possible way that like your relationship with that guy could be used as like a positive example of how to do something.
Yes. to guide me in my sugaring 100%. Experience, my sugar journey.
Sorry, I'm like imagining like a trail like you're leaving for ants, like my sugar journey.
That's exactly.
Like your Hansel and Gretel.
It's kind of like, it's like reverse Hansel and Gretel, though. Instead of bread, it's like the candy. And I'm trying to get that bread, you know? So, yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
I like that analogy. Bravo.
Thanks so much. I'd like to thank modern meme culture for helping me with that. I could never have gotten there without the setup. So.
Indeed.
Okay, so it's after 11 here.
This has been a blast.
So, thank you so much for being on. It's been a real pleasure. Your stories have been absolutely incredible.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
And I'm actually going to be in Nashville, so.
I'm not.
Yeah, hit me up.
I'm not.
Yeah.
You have my email address. I follow you on Instagram.
I connected with you on LinkedIn, by the way.
I accepted your LinkedIn connection. Yes.
My hair's short in it, though. So yes. Ignore that.
Oh, so my LinkedIn profile picture, I do a joke Christmas card photo every year with my goldfish and like a houseplant.
Hilarious.
And so my mom one year didn't like the photo. She thought it was like, here's the thing. I am larger chested. And so if I wear even a sweater, you know, it looks provocative. Like I have to wear baggy clothes to not look provocative. It's a challenge.
I can't relate.
Yeah, I know. You understand, Joe. Anyway, so for this one Christmas card, I was like very Stepford Wivesy, had like a collared shirt, pearls, a like scarf, and my goldfish in my lap. And I was like, I mean, this is very professional looking. My mom loved it. Everyone else understood that it was a joke. My mom was the only one who was like, you look so nice in that photo.
Oh my gosh,
well,
I have to get looked at.
But that's what my LinkedIn photo is. It's literally a joke.
For the record,
I'm obsessed with that.
So you've cropped out almost all of the goldfish, but there's like a little bit of the bowl. And I like that it's a little Easter egg for if you know, like in your LinkedIn profile. I'm looking at your LinkedIn right now.
Oh, wait, you can see the goldfish bowl in my LinkedIn profile?
There's just a little bit. Like you would never know.
You know what it is?
If you weren't looking for it.
My computer's going so slow.
When you know, you're like, oh.
Oh,
God. That's amazing.
But if you don't expand the photo, you can't see.
Right, yeah.
We're now connected on LinkedIn too, Joe, so. That's exciting.
Okay. My computer is.
Sorry,
so
can
slow.
I like endorse you for a podcast experience?
Yes.
Yeah, endorse me for whatever. I will endorse. I love endorsing people for everything. It's like also when I become friends with someone on Instagram, if I'm like actually friends with them, which now that I'm telling y'all that I do this, I'll do it. I go back and like every single one of their photos.
Yes.
Like if they have like 600 photos, I'll like every single, like as a joke, but like I'm a supportive friend.
Yes.
I want to like lift people up. I love everyone. So I will endorse you. I'll like your stuff. I'll like promote y'all. Like,
please.
Whatever you need.
Please.
I hate to admit that I'm not as nice of a person as Madison, but I have a friend, he went to Africa and like had like a bunch of pictures from trips to Africa. And I went through and I liked all of the pictures that were mistakes. Like anytime he had like taken a picture of like his thumb or like, it was just like super blurry.
Was this Harris?
He just uploaded
amazing.
All. No, this is on Facebook. He just uploaded
like bulk
all.
Upload.
It was a Harris.
Yeah. You know, it was not Harris. Was anyway. So I just liked them all. And he found it out like through like a little ways down. He's like, Pretty Joe, are you just liking all of the like bad pictures? And I was like,
That's so funny.
Nice.
Oh my god.
I thought that was hilarious. It was actually disappointing though, because then when there were good pictures, I like didn't want to like them because I was like, then he'll think I think it's a bad one.
Oh,
it's like a reverse psychology.
I have one friend, no matter what he posts, I just wow react to it. And I'll go back and be like, oh, I missed some things, and wow react. The only ones I don't do are when it's like he posts about like, oh, my grandma died. Then I don't wow react. I have haste. Thanks. And, you know, class. everything else,
the most
I wow react. It's funny to me.
The most passive aggressive text message reaction is the question mark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like just like have like a random conversation, just like send back a question mark. People are like, how do you not understand what that is? Like, it's more of like an existential questioning, like your existence.
I'll react to my own text if the person hasn't responded. I feel like that's kind
of
petty,
oh,
too.
Of course. Yeah, no, not at
Thank
all.
Thank you, iMessage, for including that feature. The other, that's why I don't,
why
I don't
ever react to a text message.
Green text. I just hate it so much. I'm like, you don't.
The best way to end a conversation is to send a thumbs up.
Yes. Oh, I do that all the time. I feel bad.
No, I mean, it's a good conclusion.
Or just like, they're like, hi, how are you? And you're like, I'm good. Like, nothing.
I'm working on being a strong enough person that I'm willing to end a conversation.
Yes. Not interested. Yeah.
One
and
day
on
I'll
that,
get there.
On that note, I'm going to give y'all two thumbs up.
Yes, get out of here.
I love talking to y'all. I really need to go to the bathroom and y'all really need to go
yes.
to sleep. I also need
Thank
to go
you.
To sleep.
Madison, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much,
Bye.
Y'all. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us on this date, our season finale of the Just Not That Into You podcast. As always, you can find us on Instagram at Just Not That Into You podcast. Please slide into our DMs. We are trying to make it a fun place while we're gone. It'll be active. We'll do polls and stuff while we're on a break. When will we be back? I'm not sure the exact day. So you probably should subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and probably other places. If you have a story to share, you can leave us a voice message. Joe, maybe you can explain how they do that. Or
no idea.
You don't know. Well, someone figured it out. Paul figured it out. And so you can do that if you can figure it out or find Paul. Or you could email us at jntiypodcast@gmail.com. And thanks again for joining us, for understanding that we need this break to figure out who we are, to learn who Joe is, to learn who I am, to see other people maybe. We need some space. I think that's good.
Hey, but we still love you.
We still just love you and we care about you.
It's not you. It's us.
It's us. I like that.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. You just now I can't cut that part out from earlier, but just forced it into the podcast. No, it's fun.